morning, church.
Good morning.
The Bible reading for this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Yeah, that's chapter 3, John chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit." This is the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Thank you, Brother Ferdinand, for this wonderful evening. This is the day God has made, and we shall be glad in it.
Amen.
God has given us privilege to come and worship Him in faith and in truth. At this time, we hear the word of God, the sermon. The topic of my sermon this morning is this: great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. The text is from John chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, the passage we have just read. And I thank the brother for that passage. So I want us to look into the key points of this word and or the meaning of this change and the born. The two key words, I want us to look at it: change and born. According to English Oxford Dictionary, we find the word change as to alter or modify, to replace something with something else, which is newer or better. The substitution of one thing for another. That is the definition of change according to that dictionary. Then born. The same dictionary defines born as to come into existence as a result of birth. Now, wedding, for a Christian, we have two forms of birth. We have the physical birth and the spiritual birth. Let the brother quickly read John chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. From 5 and 6, yes.
Jesus answered, "Mostly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Yes,
that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit."
Yes, you can see that passage is clear about the two forms of birth which a Christian must have to enter into the kingdom of God. So, we must have these two parts of birth before we enter the kingdom of God. The first one is the physical birth, born of the flesh. The birth is a general birth which brought every human being on earth. That's physical birth. Then this is the first form of birth designed by God for every living thing. It's God that formed it for every living thing. It's between human to human being, to follow human being, man to man. Then the second one is the spiritual birth, born of water. Now this second birth is an immersion or burial into the water in order to put on Christ, to be called Christian, or to be called the follower of Christ. The process of this second birth is between God and man. It has a deep spiritual significance. Now, if you read out our text, John chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, this is a story about Nicodemus. And we all know that Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's a prominent man. He's a wealthy man. You know, but this man desired to see Christ. He had been hearing about Christ and his teaching. So, he desired. And he did not waste time. He went to Jesus Christ. And also, he called him teacher. You know that Jesus Christ is a teacher from God. Then, on that process, he wants to know about Christ more. Because Christ has been teaching, doing all kinds of miracles, preaching the word of God. But this man wants to know more about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told him the procedure. If you want to come to God, you must follow this way. You must be what? Be born again. You know, if you read that passage, how can a man born again? Can he enter into his mother? It's just like a child asking his mother a question. You know, but looking at that woman, that man, you know, he wants to know something about Jesus Christ. So, brethren, he said that we must born again. We must born again. Then, now, after the reborn, what followed? After reborn, what followed? Remember that being born of water and spirit alone is not a ticket to eternal life. That will not, it's not a guarantee that you will go to heaven. But we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Let the brother read that passage for me. Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 13.
Philippians chapter 2, from verse 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing.
You see, we cannot hide under the umbrella of Christianity only by mouth and not by work to make heaven. Immediately we are born again, there should be a great significant change in our life, which the world will see and believe that indeed we are the true born again Christians. Please let the brother read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Although that place said that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are no longer live with the old man. Old man of hatred, old man of evil, old man of drunkenness. Since you are born again, you are no longer living the life of an old man. According to that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, all things have passed away. Now everything now has become new. We have had this very topic and passage in the Bible in different ways, over and over again. But we need to ask ourselves this question. Since I started hearing this message, what impact has this message made in my life? What positive change has been seen by my friends, my family, my husband, my wife, and those who know me, or those who are around me? What impact has been created in my life? We have been hearing this topic in different forms. Last 3 weeks ago, I think we read this passage about Nicodemus. If you are a Christian and there is not great or significant change in your life since you are born again, then you being born again has nothing yet to put forth. It is not their fruit. So we must be born again. We must change. That reminds me of a song we used to sing. Some of us may know the song, but it's a familiar song in the Lord's Church. Say that there's a great change since I was born. 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 There's a great change since I was born. What I used to do, I do them no more. What I used to be, I do them no more. What evil has been, I see them no more. There's a great change since I was born. It's very sweet of God, man. Take notes. So, can a brother also read 2 Peter chapter 2, 20, verse 22? 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 to 22.
20 to 22, wait.
Yes.
For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, turned from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb: a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to wallowing in the bed.
Thank you for that reading. My brethren, after becoming born again and still going back to our old ways, make us look like the dog that went back to eat vomit, or the pig that went back to eat that after being washed. What bad or negative things do you used to do before you become a born again? Because some of us, we will not deny it. We are still in our old life. For instance, I used to drink. After becoming born again, I go back to drink. That means I've still remained in that old life. See? So, are you still doing them? That's a question for each and every one of us. Are you still doing them? Are you still living I don't care lifestyle or putting on I don't care attitude? As a bachelor or a spinster, are you still living wayward lifestyle? Are you still doing the things that pleases yourself rather than things that pleases God? Are you still wearing those fashion that expose your body even though it does not matter? Or it does not please God? Are you still putting those things? As a husband, are you still looking down on your family? Are you still doing those things that will bring disunity to your home? Are you still living I don't care lifestyle? Are you still causing your wife heartache? Are you still helping to build your home? Or are you destroying it with words and your attitude? This is a question for each and every one of us to answer ourselves. As a wife also, are you being the helpmate that God has created you to be? Are you supportive to your husband's hard work? Are you still being the caring, loving, kind and being sweet lady you were in the beginning? Are you being submissive to your husband as the Bible has charged women in Ephesians chapter 5? This is a Bible passage for us to be meditating always in our life. Ephesians chapter 5. This is concerned about church, Christ and his church and family. And we are the family of God. Are you being the virtuous woman that was talked about in Proverbs chapter 31, 10 to 31? sisters, please, when you go home, in your own time, read Proverbs chapter 1, 10, verse 31. It will encourage you. It will help you. It will beat you up. Take the brother, please, read Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 29.
Verse 22 reads, wives, submit your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to herself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkles or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. Who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated its own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does to the church.
Well, if we have had this Bible passage, there's no more explanation. This is the word of encouragement by Paul to Christians at Ephesians. Just as the wife submits unto her husband, likewise the husband must love his wife as himself. For he that loveth his wife, father, loveth himself. This topic is very important because it benefits everybody. The young, the old, the married and unmarried. We are blessed with families in this blessed Church of Christ. We are blessed. God is with us. See, I think if you look at the growth now, the thing is coming day by day. It's growing day by day. You see, that shows that God is with us, and God also answers our prayers. Amen. Marriage and family is a serious business, instituted by God Himself. Therefore, husbands and wives should help to build it and not to destroy it. If we as husbands love our wife, we will not do things that will intentionally cause problems in the home. If we say we love our wife, but we behave indifferently to them, we cause them to cry, then we lie, the truth is not in us. See, we should not make our wife to cry. We should not be by mouth, but by action. If we say that we love our wife, we should do it, we should show the action. By action, not by mouth. And we should not do something that will hurt them. You see? Because whenever your wife cries, God is hearing her. Whenever your husband cries, God is also hearing him. So we should not allow them to be hurt, both the wife and the husband. If a woman says he loves her husband, but you do not respect him, you do not support his good endeavor, you are not submissive. The truth is also not in you. So you cannot say that, hey, I love my husband, but you will not be submissive unto your husband. That means the truth is not in us. Christian children, if you claim you love your parents, but you do not obey them, you do not honor and respect them, like the Bible has told us in Ephesians chapter 6, then you lie. The truth is not in you. The Bible says that children should obey their parents in their laws. For they shall do what? Live long on earth. That's a promise. He gave them commandments and also give them the promise that they shall do what? They shall live long. If we love our families, let us come together. Put our differences away. Husband, ask for forgiveness from your wife. Wife, forgive your husband. Husband, please forgive. Love yourself. Do things that bring peace and happiness in the home. Advise yourself with Bible passages. Live a holy life. Let Jesus come into your family and dwell. Because whenever we are practicing all these things, Christ will come to our family and dwell. if we dwell in our family, we will not give the devil chance to enter our family. There is a song that says also, when Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. We all know the song. You want us to sing it again? When Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. When Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. When Satan in the family, trouble, trouble home. Trouble, trouble home. Trouble, trouble home. When Satan in the family, trouble, trouble home. Trouble, trouble home. Who would like to take time to be in his family? Nobody. So, don't allow Satan to intrude. Don't give him chance at all. You see? Because if you give him chance, he will come and dwell. Then you yourself will leave the house for Satan. But God forbid. So we should not allow Satan to take over our family. We are still on the topic that said, vengeance since I was born. Let us look at our speech as Christians. Those things we used to say before we are born again, are we still saying them? We all know those things we used to say. Those words that is not supposed to say in the presence of God, in the presence of our fellow human being. Because when you said that polluted voice, people will turn and look at you and say, hey, are you sure this person is a Christian? Those things we used to say it before. But now we are born again, we should not say it again. Are we still saying them? No. Please let us read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. As born again Christians, there should be great change in our speech, our thoughts, our way of life, our belief, and our general attitude. What about our dressing as Christians? What does the Bible say about dressing? Sometimes we take it for granted, but the Bible says something about it. According to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, read. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7.
Verse 7, right. Then the eyes of both the three were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering.
You see, this is the story of Adam and Eve when they realized that they were naked. After eating from that forbidden tree, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. So the primary function of clothes is to cover our nakedness. Therefore, when a woman or a man is wearing a cloth that displays his or her inner body, you have defined the main purpose of clothing, which is to cover our body. You see? Then, we dress to keep ourselves warm. Also, we dress to protect our body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says that our body is the temple of God, which are bought with a price. It's a temple of God, which are bought with what? A price. This, our body, is bought with price. It's precious. It's precious. It's not an ordinary something to look down. It's precious. He said that, therefore, we should glorify God in our body. Let our dressing glorify God. Our dressing is supposed to be something that when we put on, it glorifies God. And when you glorify God, it's also glorifying man. Man, we see it, yes. when the man will be happy. You see? Then, in also, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, talk about decency in blessing. Our blessing should profess godliness. At their own time, I want you to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Bible talk about our blessing. In also, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, he's talking about a man not bearing the things meant for a woman, or a woman bearing the things meant for man. All these things are in the Bible. So, we should not bear something that is meant for a woman, or a man bearing something that is meant for a woman, or a woman bearing something that is meant for a man. When we are doing it, it's not sure that we are the children of God. It's not sure that we are the follower of Christ. In my conclusion, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. Not only in our home, only, but in our church, a place of work, anywhere we find ourselves, let everything be done decently and in order. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let us be happy to do things that will please God, so that God and people around us can see a great change in our life as born again Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 8, 40. Let everything be done decently and in order. Thank you and God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.